I don't know if this is where it's supposed to be. It's way back today. How do I make it come closer to my mouth? Excuse me while we go back here and make a girdle adjustment. Come on, Jeremy, meet me halfway, man. It's too late. It's too late. You're not even like one time away. I noticed it this morning. I thought maybe you had done that on purpose. Was it Aaron?
Yeah.
Thanks, Aaron, for putting it back where it was supposed to be. Thank you so much. Is that better? Well, at least he's got a little head, right? Which says that I have a big head. I get it. I certainly understand being thrown under the bus. All right. I still feel like I'm in an echo here, boys, so as long as y'all are good, I'm good. I'm not one to throw rocks at sound people. So, listen, this is really important today. I've been sharing this thing on healing, and I really ran into something that's pretty cool. And for the last several weeks, I've said to you, and it's true, we have subconscious beliefs that need to be exposed. There's stuff that we believe that isn't true. And we've been through the series of life and hearing teaching or whatever, we've come to believe things that just aren't true. We have opinions that are embedded in us as if they're true, all right? And we need to know the truth about Jesus to know the truth about healing. And one of the things that I noticed this week, of course, Gay and I were on holiday is how the Brits say it, so I don't know where that came from. Anyway, we were on vacation, but you know, just as you do life, you can see things and notice things, and we ran into a lot of people who need serious healing. But the truth is, a lot of them can't forgive themselves to get to the point to where they can believe that they can be healed. So what I want to show you today is extremely important. In fact, here's what I want to do first. I want everyone in here that is just physically ill. We're not going to talk about your finances because everybody raise their hand. If you're physically ill, I want you to raise them up high. All right, I want everyone in here to see who's got their hands raised, all right? Because I'm going to use you here in a minute. Pay attention, everybody. Raise them up high. Need a physical healing. All right. Thank you. You can put them down. But what we have to do is break this thing in our brain that we have created. And you guys have heard me share this particular verse many times about where the guys caught her in the midst of adultery, and they dragged her to Jesus, and they're going to stone her. And then Jesus said, "He's without sin, cast the first stone." They dropped the rocks, and they walked off. And then he said this in this verse. He said, straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I don't condemn you either. Go, from now on, stop sinning." Now, I've said it a million times, but that word katakrino, it literally means judge worthy of punishment. It's everything that we have done to what Gay was talking about, Harvey Weinstein. Everything we've done to him, obviously he's a creep, I get it. But it's not the point. We've condemned him because he's worthy of judgment, because he is, because of the things that he's done. Jesus tells this woman, I don't consider you worthy of judgment. Wait a minute here. She was caught doing somebody else here. And Jesus says, I don't find you worthy of judgment. Go and quit doing the goofy that you've been doing. See, you've heard me say this many times. The church has in the past, and I wish they would get a little bit closer to the truth of this, in the past has said, go and sin no more, and then I won't condemn you. See, Jesus put condemnation first. And listen to me. What God puts first, man cannot put last. This is not an accident that Jesus said it this way. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not an accident that he is more concerned about condemnation than he is about sin. No condemnation enables us to have power over sin. I want to make it so clear and so easy, because until we understand this, we will never be physically healed, mentally healed, whatever kind of healing we need. Today, specifically, physical healing. No condemnation enables us to have power over sin. The law obviously didn't stop this woman from adultery, did it? It just didn't. See, Jesus' acceptance, his no condemnation, his forgiveness gave her the power to go and sin no more. And notice he didn't ask her, why did you sin? Why did you do that? How many times we do that to other people all the time. Why did you do that? He didn't do that. That's not who Jesus is, and that's not who we need to be. He was more concerned that she knew she was forgiven than he was about her sin. Hear me. Jesus is more concerned that you understand that you are forgiven more than anything that you've ever done stupid in your life, including 5 minutes before you came into church service when you yelled at your spouse. That's why my wife and I take separate cars on Sundays. Unfortunately, we can yell through text if we want. So he was more concerned that she knew she was forgiven and that and than he was about her sin. Now here, but listen, let's take this further. Why was he like this? Because Jesus knew when she understood that she was totally and completely forgiven, that she would go right out and do right and quit sinning. What do you mean, Steve? I've shared this illustration a billion times. I want to slow it down and help us marinate it. The story of the woman whose husband she had married, and he created this, what I call her Ten Commandments. These are my expectations of you in our marriage. You will get up at 6 o'clock before I go to work at 7, and you will cook me a meal. And it will be 3 eggs over easy and 2 pieces of toast with peanut butter. And then when I get home, there will be dinner on the table because I'll get home by 5:45 and there'll be dinner on the table. And he just all these constant, in fact, to the point where she finally wrote down her Ten Commandments, wrote a list down so she could follow them so that she could please her husband. Do you not see that's what we do with God? But let's finish the story. She's heavy into this whole law that has been created so that she can somehow earn his love. But then what happens? Well, he dies, thank God. Well, maybe thank God, maybe that's probably not cool, but he dies and she swears she'll never get married again. Any ladies in here like that, huh? I'll never get married again. I hate men. I don't hate them, but they can all go to hell. I don't hate him. But then one day, this man came into her life, and he pursued her. And he pursued her, and he pursued her. It was something she had never experienced before. He pursued her. He stalked her in a good way. He called her. He sent flowers to her. He would constantly show his affection to her. Finally, she agreed to a date. Oh, my God, what am I doing? Getting back into one of these abusive relationships. Never physical abuse, just mental abuse. We have churches full of people who think they love Jesus or he loves them or whatever, and it's just mental abuse. So and finally she agrees to a date, so they go out to eat, and they finish the meal, and he takes her home, and he doesn't try to kiss her. He doesn't try to do anything. He didn't even try to, you know, he just didn't even try to kiss her. She goes back in her room and she sits down and she thinks, man, this is too good to be true here. This is way too good to be true. So then in the process, she's like, well, you know, I didn't let him take advantage of me, so he'll probably never call me again. Man, the next day, flowers on her desk at work. This man is pursuing her. So they date and they keep dating and this thing called love, and she's still thinking, man, I'm waiting for the other shoe to fall. This is too good to be true. This guy can't be who he says he is, but he just pursues her and loves her till finally he asks her to marry him, and she freaks out, runs away, and says, oh, I got to think about it. And through a series of events, she decides, well, here I go. I'm going to let those walls down, open my heart up again to be loved. And they get married. And they consummate the marriage, and they start their life, and 8 years passed, and she's up in the morning at 6 o'clock. See, this guy goes to work at 7 as well. He's up in the morning at 6 o'clock, and she's cooking him breakfast, his favorite breakfast that he likes. And she's going through her list of the day because she's got to determine what she needs to get for a meal because she really wants it on the table before he gets home. And she reaches in her apron, and she pulls out this thing, and it's a list. And she looks at it, and she goes, "Oh, my goodness, this is exactly what I'm doing now." Why? I go back to where I started. Why is she doing that now? Why did Jesus know that forgiveness is more? She's doing it now because she's doing it out of a heart of love, not out of a heart of duty. When you get to where you really absorb and understand and take in the fact that you are so forgiven, I've said this before, and I just want it to sink in. There'll be tons and tons of forgiven sinners in heaven. And there'll be tons and tons of forgiven sinners in hell. What do you mean? I mean, everybody in the entire, for God so loved the cosmos that he gave his son, that whoever believes, oh, it's about faith. But it's not about faith healing. It's about faith believing what Jesus did. So that's what made her understand. He didn't come in and say, he said, "Where are those who said you were worthy of punishment?" And she's like, "Well, they all dropped their rocks and went." And I'm sure she was ready for him to say, "Well, here's what you need to do. You need to do 12 Hail Marys and, you know, go see the priest, whatever." He said, "And girl, I don't find you worthy of punishment either. Just stop being goofy." What changed her? I promise you, from that day on, she didn't do anything goofy like that. You know why? Because she realized that she was forgiven and loved. So, believing in knowing that you're completely forgiven precedes the healing that happens. Forgiveness, no condemnation, and healing are linked together. They're linked together in Scripture all throughout. From Genesis to Revelation, they are linked. Understand, when I say forgive, I'm not talking about forgiving others. I'm talking about believing. Here's the brutal truth. When you really honestly, totally, completely believe that your sins are gone and he totally forgives you, it just is simple to forgive somebody else because you're looking at them through the eyes of your understanding. And if your understanding is darkened and warped, then that's how your understanding is going to be. Man, I have friends that think they are absolutely spot on in their theology concerning grace and love and mercy, yet they slam those who don't believe the way they believe. I'm sure it crawled you some when my wife said, "Let's pray for Harvey Weinstein." Yeah, I'll pray. I'll pray he goes straight to hell. Man, we got to get this. There's people out there. My wife and I were on this cruise ship and stopping at ports, and one particular port was this girl that was selling essential oils, and I'm now the essential oil guy. I should be, I really am. I used to mock her, but then I realized it works. So now I'm like, okay. But anyway, she has this humongous heart of compassion for people. Just was weeping, talking to us. She's in Canada. She's weeping, talking about Harvey and the people who were hurt there. And she was sincere. But the second we would try to sneak a little Jesus in, boy, and we could sense the resistance. The resistance is she doesn't believe that. I don't know her understanding, but a lot of people just believe Jesus is this mean thing, that Jesus is the religion that has been created, when in all reality, he died for all of us. If we could get that, we could move on. So the price for our forgiveness is interlocked with healing. Here's the scripture. He was despised. This is Isaiah prophesying about Jesus 700 years before he died. He said, it says he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we didn't care. Yet it was our weakness that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for my rebellion. It says our, but That's mine. Crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. I want you to see that. I want you to see the order of that. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. First, he was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Do you see that? The forgiveness comes before the healing. But then you might think, but wait a minute, Steve. Jesus was whipped before he did the forgiveness, the blood part. Yeah, you're exactly right. Because the truth is, until he died, healing could never come. Do you hear me? It was the blood that was shed for the remission of sin. We will never be healed if we don't believe that Jesus died and wasn't just crippled. If all we believe is the part where it says he was whipped for our healing, you get it. He was whipped for our healing. If that's all we believe and we don't get to the point of his blood was for our forgiveness so that we could be declared righteous before God. If we don't get that, then we've never allowed him to die. We're just kind of letting him be crippled for us. He wasn't crippled for us. He died for us. So a real part of our healing is to receive this forgiveness. And when I say receive the forgiveness, I mean receive the understanding, the belief. That's where our faith is. You know, it's so backwards to me. You know, there's faith healers. We don't need faith healers. We need faith people who will build faith that you are totally and completely forgiven of your sin. I realize that's not going to raise funds. I'm not worried about, I am worried about raising funds. That's a whole different sermon. What I am concerned about is people and their hearts. So the more forgiven conscious we are, the more healing conscious we can become. Watch this. A real part of our healing is to receive forgiveness, to believe we are forgiven every hour of every day, of every week, of every day. We are forgiven totally, completely, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I can show you in Scripture. There's just no doubt. Even David knew, David who wrote this wonderful thing in Psalms. Let all that I am, David wrote, praise the Lord. He was such a jerk. He really was, y'all. David was not a good person. David committed adultery, had a husband killed, lied about it. You hear him saying, he was not a good person, or was he? Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. Look at the order. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He could have easily said, he heals all my diseases and forgives all my sins. He didn't put it in that order on purpose. You get it? So, I want to show you an example. Here it is, Matthew. Everybody's familiar with this story. And they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And seeing their faith, I want you to see that. Seeing their faith, those, raise your hand. Those are only those who raise your hand. I want to go raise your hands again. Okay, keep them up high. I want them up high. Don't be ashamed here. I want everybody that's around you, I want you to go stand, at least stand next to him. You don't even have to put your hands on him. Just stand next to him. Leave your hands up. I'm doing this because what Gay did this morning was powerful. For those of you who don't come to church early enough to hear the music, what she had us do in the beginning of the worship service, there was a song being sung about unity and stuff, and she had us hold hands, and there was a powerful thing that happened. There's something about unity. So I want everybody to find somebody that has their hand raised, at least somebody that has their hand raised. Everybody move, yes. But I'm not a believer in Jesus. Believe for me now, move. It's okay. It's not a bad thing. What do you mean it's not a bad thing? Man, it's not about you, sir or madam. It's about him and how great and good he is. Is everybody covered? Make sure everybody's covered. If your hand's still up and you, or leave your, put your hand down if someone's standing with you. Everybody's covered. I'm going to show you something here. This is fresh, by the way. It came to me when she, my wife, did that this morning. So let's look at this. And they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed, and seeing their faith. Notice it says, it didn't, listen, everywhere else in Scripture, when Jesus was going to heal somebody, he'd say, saw his faith or her faith or saw their lack of faith. But this is, he saw their faith. What? The four guys that had the paralytic. See, because the paralytic couldn't move. He couldn't make his own. In fact, I've told you this before, and I really believe this is possibly true. He didn't, it wasn't even his choice. Because he couldn't move. In other words, he could have been telling them, don't do that, you're going to embarrass me. It doesn't matter. It was their faith that dug the hole in the roof and dropped him down. So let's look at this. Seeing their faith, what had happened was they had ripped the roof off and dropped this man down. It's just funny to me. And dropped this man down. And he says, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, and then that stopped right there. See, because at this point, where everybody would be praying for you is that God would miraculously heal you. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I want you to see the order that Jesus chose. Take courage, son. Your sins are forgiven. This dude couldn't move. This dude couldn't move. On his mind was wanting to move again. But Jesus said, take courage. Just take courage. Your sins are totally forgiven. Those of you who raised your hands, your sins are totally forgiven. Your sins were taken to the cross. And Jesus, for 3 hours, received that punishment as the sky darkened to the point to where he finally said, and the only time he ever called God, God, the other times he called him Abba, Daddy. Ele, ele, lama sabachthani, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So for 3 hours, he took my stuff. Bam. Every sin I have committed, every sin I'm thinking about, it's all on Jesus' body. Why? So that when God looks at the cross, he sees your nasty self. But then he raised Jesus from the dead so that when he looks at me, instead of the cross, when he looks at me, he sees Jesus. Take courage, those of you who want healing, need healing. Jesus, he has really accomplished it. I just read it. By his stripes, you are healed. By his blood, you are forgiven. And until you grasp that you are forgiven, it makes that healing hard. Why? Because we feel like we have to do right. If you've been dumb your whole life and smoked for 100 years and you get lung cancer, there is nothing in your physical mind that thinks you deserve. It's not about what you deserve. He has accomplished everything on the cross for you. Do you hear that? And by the way, let me interject this too, because this thought came to me earlier. I don't care how old you are. You hear what I'm saying? Because some people say, oh, it's just age. Stop it. I'm an old guy. I mean, I guess. I mean, I don't look bad for 97. Well, I'm not 97. Those of you go, wow, I'm going to believe now. Well, if you want, okay, then, if that's what it takes, you know, I'll just lie. I'm healthier now than I've been in 2 years, and I give total and complete glory. Remember what glory is? The word glory, kabod, literally means accentuating and elevating the opinion of who you're glorifying. I glorify God in this because I know I didn't have anything to do with it. In the losing of my weight, it had nothing with me about ticking off what needed to be done. It had all to me with trying to help the Holy Spirit and help me understand what the fruit of the self-control is. It's a fruit. Which means what? I don't have to. It's kind of weird, self-control in if it's self. But man, when you understand it's something that you can't do, it just happens. Now, they're going to stay standing there because we are going to do the healing part, because here's what I love about the rest of the story. Here it is. I love this. And some of the church, When anytime the Bible says scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, Sanhedrin, Bereans, whatever, just you can insert the word church. And some of the church said to themselves, they didn't even say this out loud. Boy, isn't that nice? Because, man, if we said out loud some of the things we think, yeah. They said to themselves, this fellow blasphemes. I've been accused of that because of what I teach. Isn't that funny? To me, it's not teaching, it's living. To me, it's Zoe life, but because of what I teach, because I teach that Jesus has forgiven you, because that's what the Bible says, and I don't apologize for what the Bible says. But some of them got on Facebook and posted. They said they blasphemed. This fellow blasphemes. Watch this. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, remember, they didn't say it out loud, but he knew. He answered their thoughts. Love this. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why are you thinking evil in your hearts? No, yep. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? Do you see this? Jesus had such an understanding. He's like, I'm doing the important thing, but we can do that side thing. You know, what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, totally, completely, gone, done. Kid, you're whole. But I can't walk, you're whole. But I can't walk, you're whole. And then Jesus completed it. And then he said to the paralytic, get up, pick up your bed and go home. And here's what I love. Here's where your obedience comes in. He got up and went home. Man, I got to do this. No, you don't. You just got to get up and go home. There is no work for you to do. It's the belief. Yes, I want to believe. You're gonna see those people who say, "Man, that you're just justifying people to sin." No, you don't. You don't even. And by the way, for people who just will try to tell me too, well, you know, I'm under grace, so I can do anything I want. Well, no, you're not under grace. Because if you're under grace, you realize you're totally and completely forgiven, and that's what motivates you out of the love. Your list turns into your pocket. You start doing things that the law told you to do. You start doing them, not because the law told you to do them, but because you receive the love and reciprocate the love that the guy gave you. The Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And so he said to the paralytic, get up, pick up your bed, go home. And he got up and he went home. But when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck and glorified God who had given such authority to men. They glorified God because of the healing. There's something really cool here. So I want those of you, I want you to lay your hands. You're going to be the faith ones. So hear me. Those of you who are sick, totally sick, you need healing, you need to, Ron, you're ready to walk and shake free of that stupid stroke, whatever it is. It's not even about your faith anymore. Because other people will believe. But here's what I want to say. You are totally and completely forgiven. And you know what? That's pretty good. We had a guy who used to go here called David McAllister was his name, I believe. And he had cerebral palsy, and he was real bad. And so he was in a wheelchair, and he could barely talk. And we had some young guys here that were full of vigor and vehemence. Zeal without knowledge is what Peter did when he cut the Malchus's ear off. And he just zeal with no knowledge. And Jesus like, put his ear back on. Peter, come on. Anyway, that's what I'm saying. And they said that night, we are not leaving until he comes up out of the wheelchair. Of course, their parents started praying really heavy. And I'm thinking, Lord, I need a mop here. I need some wisdom, you know. And so in the process, of course, we prayed. And I went up to David and I said, David, are you okay in your body, man? Because, by the way, cerebral palsy, they can't talk. They're, you know, and they move and stuff, but they have all their brain. And he goes, yeah, Pastor. And I said, okay, that's what I thought. So it's not important to you, you know, to, yeah. Because you know what the cool thing is? David knew he was forgiven. But that doesn't change the fact that by his stripes we are healed, but it's by his death and the bloodshed that we are totally forgiven. And when we get that, we get that. So I want us to pray right now. Father, I just pray right now for those of this physical healing. And you said it. You said, take courage. Your sins are forgiven. So Lord, if there's revelation somewhere in that, I pray that you show that. I pray you help us finish it through these scriptures that we will read, God. But Lord, there is nothing left to accomplish on our part for that healing to occur in our bodies. And there's nothing left to accomplish on your part for healing in our bodies. So I pray that the faith of others and the belief that we are totally and completely forgiven will rest upon them. And I thank you for that. Amen. Okay, you guys can go sit back where you were. I'm not done yet. See, there's no partial forgiveness and there's no partial healing. Now, we try to play partial forgiveness because we'll say we forgive someone, but we really don't. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, well, you know what? I did that, but I'll never do that again. Well, I get that. Shame me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me. I get that. I get that saying. I get all of it. But once we've really released somebody into forgiveness, it's the gift, right? A gift can't be taken back or it's not a gift. I can't give you, if I give you $5 and ask for it back, then I loaned you something. So we kind of loan forgiveness out to folks. Jesus didn't loan anything. So, Jesus knew that this man needed to know that he was forgiven for all sin before he could receive his healing. If we don't honestly believe that, there's always going to be that haunting thing of, I saw God heal them, but they're in a better position than I am. Do you get what I'm saying? They pray more, they read their Bible more, they go to church more, they give more money. I've been there. Man, I've been there. I have been there. So we get into that thinking that we can somehow earn this thing called this. But see, Jesus knew that he was forgiven for all sin before he could receive his healing. Because until we believe that, there's going to always be something that says, he can't heal me because. And when you say he can't heal me because, you're saying he did not die on the cross for you. Do you get it? Because if you say he can't heal me because of something I've done, then you don't understand that he's taking care of everything. It's not about how bad I am. It's about how great he is. I don't have any power in my own thing, but the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that would be the Holy Spirit, lives in me. And by the way, it's not, he doesn't just live in me and I give him out to you. He lives in you. Well, no, if you've accepted Christ and you believe that Jesus is God and that he was raised from the dead, the Bible says very clearly, raised from the dead, he dwells in you, he's in you. Well, I haven't heard from him for a while. Well, that's not the point either. He's in, dirty or not, he's in you. It kind of reminds me, working with the fire department, you have different levels of what I call crust in guys. You know, you got the old hat that's all grumpy and whatever, and you got the new rookie, and you have guys that, you know, here's what's so funny. You, from one extreme to the other, all four types of personalities, yet it boils down to one thing, and this is what I've told every one of them. Beneath all whatever the crust is, there's this little sparkle of something inside of them that wants to help other people, or they wouldn't be doing what they do. So when we get into that mode of, okay, well, if I just would have done that, stop. Jesus told Martha the same thing. Man, she was cooking in the kitchen, making all kinds of chicken and dumplings and stuff. I don't think they made that back then, but that's what I'd have her make if she probably was a good cook. And, you know, and Lazy Mary is what I was going to call her, might as well. And she's sitting there at Jesus' feet, and Martha's furious because Martha's doing for the kingdom. Man, I'm cooking a meal for Jesus. I'm cooking a meal for God. How cool would that be? And she goes in all in a snit, and what happens? You know the story. Jesus says, Martha, Martha. He said it twice. He only said Lazarus once to raise the dude from the dead. He said Martha twice because she was snippy. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm telling you the truth. Now think about it. Lazarus, come forth. But with Martha, it's like, Martha, Martha, come on. Because she said to him, well, aren't you going to make her get up and come help me? I imagine she probably used some, you know, Arabic cuss words or something. I don't know. But she was in a snit, and rightly so, guys. Rightly so. Hear me. And Jesus is like, whoa. Martha, you are worried about so many things. Christian Center, Fourth Worth people that are sitting here today, you are worried about so many things. And Jesus said, and Mary has just chosen one thing. And Martha, I don't want to hurt your feelings. He didn't say that part, but I would have. She chose the better thing. So as we're scrambling about, oh, I got to do this and do this, and I got to work this and do this, and oh God, I'm sorry about this. Here's Martha that chose the greater thing. And what did she choose? Sit down and shut up. But it won't get done. It won't really. Has it been getting done with you working on it? Well, there you go. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how good God is? Wow. So, Jesus knew the man needed to know he was forgiven before he could receive the healing. Here's my conclusion. Just a couple of scriptures. Until you really believe these scriptures, I don't think you really can believe. And when I say believe, I mean believe. It's the word faith. Pistis in the Greek, but we've always said faith for so long. Well, you just don't have enough faith, brother. Well, I get it, but it's belief. If my belief system is down, what raises my faith? What builds my belief? But believing the Bible, we believe the Bible, right? Well, what would build my belief if I just would read more Bible and understand it and realize that God's for me? Because when you read it, He's for you. Look at these couple of scriptures here. And I, Jesus, I will forgive their wickedness. Actually, this is God. This is in Hebrews. Paul's right. Well, I think Paul wrote Hebrews. Whatever. There's a debate. Who cares? And I will, he says, and I will, talking about God, and I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Do you not understand what that means? He will never again remember our sins. You mean when tomorrow becomes today? Yes. I've told you 1,000 times, if that weren't true, we're all messed up. Because he died 2,000 years ago. So if he didn't forgive tomorrow's sins, then he only died from there backwards, right? We just try to theologize everything. The cool thing is you won't sin as much when you start believing. It just happens. It's a natural process in a love relationship rather than a demanding relationship. We have walked with God for years in this heavy-handed demand that I must line up with the Word of God. No, you must not. You must believe that Jesus loves you so much He died. Wow. It's hard to believe because there's no human could do this. But yet He was human. Here was the God who did no sin but became sin so that those of us who are sin could be viewed as having no sin. I couldn't do that for you because some of you drive when I'm on the freeway. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. When God speaks of a new covenant, talking about when Jesus comes and came, and now we're under the new covenant of grace, charis is the word. When God speaks of a new covenant, it means He's made the first one, the old covenant, obsolete. It's now out of date and will soon disappear. What does it mean when it soon disappears? It'll disappear when we're home. You get what I'm saying? But it's obsolete. Do you get it? We have a new covenant. The old one's obsolete. The old one's done. In fact, if you read other places in Hebrews, the word says it was nailed to the cross too. How cool is that? But the truth is, you can believe in the... Listen, love the Ten Commandments all you want. But you will never be motivated by reading the Ten Commandments to get it done. You will only be motivated by the love that Christ has for you, and out of that relationship, you'll just it's just a natural process. I've told you my testimony a million times, or if you've read my book. I woke up one morning, and it had been 6 months since I'd done dumb stuff. 6 months since I'd smoked a doobie. 6 months since I'd done, back then we had meth, so it was all serious speed and stuff. And I was stunned because I didn't have my date. I'm not like some of y'all that can say, well, you know, September 7, 1972. I can't. All I can tell you is there was, and it was accident. Didn't even understand it. I just hung with Jesus for 6 months. I was so conscious, focused on Him, I forgot about being focused on me. And I woke up one morning, and it was almost 6 months to the day, and I'm like, wow. Well, see, you know what's cool? I couldn't take credit for that. There's no willpower in I was just fascinated with this God who knows me better than I know myself, but yet loves me more than anybody else could. I was fascinated with that. I was fascinated that this God that I was trained to believe in wasn't who He was. Man, I was trained that I got to do so that it can get done, when the truth is it's already done, so I don't have to do. And a lot of the do turns into doo-doo, you know, right? There's such a freshen peace in understanding that. And the cool thing is when you really walk in that, all other, the people who, your brothers from another mother, that's what I call them, the ones that, are, you know, don't like me, whatever, the brothers from another mother, all the evil, the ISIS, all those people, I honestly can see if I stay in Him, stay focused on Him, unfortunately, He died for them too. Oh my goodness, why did you do that? Why didn't you handpick? Because thank God He didn't, because I wouldn't have made the list, would you? Thank God it's not about me. Whoo, it's about Him. Wow, yeah. So, let's go to the next scripture. I did little short blips just for you. By the way, if you were smart, or if you, I said that makes it sound like if you're dumb, if you don't do this, if you would like to remember these scriptures, you should probably write down the Hebrew. I'll say it online. I forgot about that. We're talking like people on the internet are going, what? What are they? What are they? I'm not telling you. Come to church. Hebrews 10, 17, and 18. Then he says, talking about God, I will never again remember. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I will never again remember their sins and their lawless deeds. And when sins have been forgiven, there's no need to offer any more sacrifices, including your own. If I just do A, B, C, and D, I know God will move because I saw Him move in their life in that way, and they did A, B, C, and D. Right? Do you not believe He really is for you, not against you? Do you not believe He wants you to financially prosper? He does. I'll be the prosperity preacher for you, man. Because He does. He wants you to prosper. But it comes all about sitting and resting in Him, and out of that flows stuff, and crazy stuff happens, and finances come in when you don't know why they do, and all these things. It's just funny. All right, let's go to the last scripture, and I'll leave y'all alone. This is a bigger chunk, but I want you to grasp it. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin. Everybody knows that story, I'm assuming, when Adam and Eve did their thing, ate the apple, fruit, whatever kind it was. There's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. I think even right there that sounds weird, doesn't it? Because it's like, well, of course there's a difference between sin and a gift. Hello? But watch. It says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. That word many, by the way, people get confused with this word. It's got just a plethora of meaning. Largeness, vastness, magnitude. In other words, it's not an exclusion of something. You get what I mean? And the reason I say that, because it's the same word that was used here in a second. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace. And watch, his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. What is important? The gift of, why? Otherwise it would have said the gift of healing. You get it? Okay. Forgiveness to me of the other. So Jesus Christ, verse 16, and the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. Because Adam's sin led to condemnation. Adam's sin led to us, when they ate the apple or whatever fruit it was, the Bible says they knew the difference between good and evil. When you know the difference between good and evil, what does that mean? That you know the difference between what is good and what is evil, what doesn't need to be punished and what needs to be punished. Condemnation is that you are worthy of punishment. When they ate that, that's why their eyes are open, and that's why they covered themselves, because they knew they were naked, because they knew that nakedness was worthy of punishment because they were supposed to have clothes on. They didn't know that before they knew that. Does that make sense? Probably not, but if it just, if you go online and listen, just backwards and you're listening again. So this is where condemnation came in, because they didn't know that. Now watch. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result, which is condemnation. And then it says, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. Do you see this? This is the stuff you need to chew on, guys. Watch. For all who receive... Wait, back up. Back up, please. Thank you. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to being made right with God. Being made right with God, even though we're guilty. We are right with God even though we're guilty. How can that possibly be? Because of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, took all that on himself, rose again to the resurrection power, and so now do you see it? We've been given this. It's a free gift. You can't earn this. You can't do it. But the law says, but the Ten Commandments, I don't care what the Ten Commandments say. What did you say? I don't care what the Ten Commandments say. You can take down every Ten Commandment monument in the United States of America and it will not hurt my feelings. Put up, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will never perish but have eternal life. Put that up. Because that's where we are now. I'm not saying that the law is perfect and pure and good. The problem is we're not. We're not. Listen, quit blaming the law for you doing dumb. We're bad. The law's perfect. It's perfect. I'm imperfect. But the coolest thing is Jesus, okay, I was going to say trump the law, but then people go, oh my God, it's a political statement. Can't even use the word trump anymore. That's sad. That aggravates me, because that's a great word to use there. It trumped the law. Jesus, when Jesus did what he did, it's done. That's why the word says in Hebrews, that law was nailed, because why? Because what Jesus Christ did was come in as the ultimate sacrifice. The law, the Bible says, was for what? Given so that we could see how ugly we are, as a mirror, so we could see how ugly we are. Jesus came to complete it, crushed it, killed it, so that now we look to him instead of the law. Because when we looked in the law, we just saw how ugly we are. When we look at him, we see how beautiful we are. Holy moly, don't you want to feel pretty? Well, guys, handsome. Sorry. Girls are like, yes, pretty. And I'm like, okay, handsome fellas. Oh, I do, yeah. Well, the Cowboys aren't playing today, so I'm going till tomorrow morning. All right. Preach to, oh, you have one world like, yeah, everybody's going, God, shut up. Got to beat those people to the restaurant. Okay, I'm about to be quiet. Maybe. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. What is righteousness? That we're declared righteous. The proof of that is that we are totally and completely forgiven. Do you get it? But great is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it. There's the rub. There's the hard part. You have to really believe that he's that good. Wow. We've believed forever how bad he was. Why can't we get to the truth here? For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin, understanding you're forgiven, and, I put the and, that was my capitalization, death, sickness, All who believe it will sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Man, if you go into I believe it's 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul's talking about how they messed up communion and stuff, and at the end of it he says the reason, because you're not examining this correctly. Now here's what's so funny, because people, they don't know it, so they say, oh, I've got to examine myself. Stop it. You're examining the belief system. But because we don't believe that some of you are sick, weak, and are going to die early, it's basically what that says. Why? Because we don't discern. That word discern means to look at, like with a magnifying glass, and not your own dirty self. Don't be dumb. That would take too long. Really, we would never be able to have communion. Just for me, I mean, y'all could probably have it, but for me to have to examine me and look at how ugly I am and stuff, we'd be sitting for about a day or two, and y'all be going, man, I'm kind of hungry. Just have your communion. It means to examine. What does that say over there? This do in remembrance of, doesn't mean me. It means him. He says, I want you to do this to remember me. So then how come all of a sudden we shift to, well, you know, the Bible says to examine yourself. No, it doesn't. Study the word, man. It says to examine yourself being, again, your belief system, your understanding, your pistis, if you will. And when you start seeing that, oh my goodness, by his stripes we are healed, but by we are whole, and his blood was given for my remission. We love that word, but it's for the forgiveness of sin. My sins are gone as far as the east is from the west. I'm really good, Jesus. I'm taking this bread, and I'm believing for wholeness. I'm believing for wholeness. Do you see why we take the bread first and then the cup? Do you want to? We could reverse it, I suppose, but then. It wasn't done that way, was it? We take the bread to represent he's totally, completely healed us. And then the blood is the chaser, if you will, that says, it's done, it's finished, tetelestai. Bam, it's over. Wow. So we start from that finished position. So here's my last thoughts to you, and I will leave you alone. Stop, give me instructions here. Stop hurting yourself. Jesus was hurt for you. Stop beating yourself. Jesus was beaten for you. Stop punishing yourself. Jesus was punished for you. Stop condemning yourself. Jesus was condemned for you. Stop asking yourself if you've done enough to earn his forgiveness, love, and acceptance. I never ever in my life with my kids ever had a conversation of sitting down with them and seeing if they understood or if they had done enough to earn my forgiveness and my love and my acceptance for them. Guys, it's grace, the dirty word grace, undeserved and unearned, and you can't achieve it. Ooh, I rhymed right here. You can't achieve it. You can only receive it. You can't achieve it. Can only receive it. Where's my rat man? Is he here today? Is he? Ah! Dude, come on. Write this song. Write that song right there. I'm going to say the words again and then you build it. I'm telling you, you build it. Undeserved grace. 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 It's undeserved and unearned, and you can't achieve it. You can only receive it. In fact, it's undeserved and unearned favor. We got it. We can rhyme with that too. Come on. Something with favor. And I love the flavor. You can tell I'm a white dude, right? I'm the white guy that's clapping on the wrong beat. Everybody's doing that, and everybody's like, and I'm going, all right. Last point, and I'll pray. And when you believe, no, when you know, there'll come a time where you get this gnosis. No, that's the word, the Greek word, where you know, and knowing is different than hearing. That's why Jesus would say, when they put it in the English, when Jesus would say, hear and understand, That's how they put it in English. He was actually saying hear and hear. Hear and receive it, chew it up, and that's where we just don't take the time and think. Chew it up, believe it, hold it in, get it, hear it and understand it. And if we would do that, wow, it's kind of cool because you'll learn that there's nothing bad about him, no matter what you've been thought of or even how you think of yourself. It's the enemy that tells you how dumb you are. It's the enemy that looks you in the face and tells you, do that, do that, do that. And then when you do that, he goes, look what you did, look what you did, look what you did. It's the same guy. It's not your wife or your husband. I get it. That's a whole different sermon. So when you believe / know, when you know that you are totally and completely forgiven, you will believe and know that you are totally and completely healed. There is nothing left to do. Again, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus accomplished on the cross. There is nothing left for him to do for our healing. There's nothing left for him to do for our forgiveness. When we believe that he loves us like that, when we could really believe that he loves us like we love our own children, because it was in our power, if your kid is ever sick, do you just go in their room and look at him and go, oh my God, you deserve that. That's what you get for being out in the water so long. Oh, you got 2 sunburn, you got blisters on your back, whatever. I'm not putting lotion on it. You made your bed, kid, you sleep in it. Do we do that to our children? How much more God, who loves us crazier than anybody could ever love us. I want to love like him. I can't do it, which is why I'm not him. I'm done. Let's pray. Oh, Father, 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 I want you to stand with me. I forgot that I had told him as well as you that we're going to offer a time of prayer here's why. It's not out of tradition. It's because when Jesus, he would always teach, and the Bible said that they would be amazed, but then he didn't just teach and then put on his James Brown coat and walk off into the sunset. The Bible says that then he would heal. He would pray and heal folks. And so that fascinated me when I was studying on this healing. So that's when I told you all several weeks back that I want to make that opportunity for people to come and be healed by Jesus, because I think once we get some light in those areas, it's a whole lot simpler. So if you're here today, and this cannot just be physical healing, if you this areas of your life, listen, until you learn to forgive yourself, you're going to have to let Jesus, you're going to have to understand how much Jesus loves you. You'll never forgive yourself until you realize how much he forgives you, right? And that incorporates into any other people's lives too. It's hard to forgive others if you haven't forgiven yourself. Because a lot of times, it's just fun. I'm laughing because it's so true. A lot of times we want to forgive other people, but yet we know that part of the problem of the forgiveness was me being a toot. You know what I'm saying? Man, our ego gets in the way, doesn't it? I read a quote yesterday, it was pretty good, and I can't remember it, but it was something to the effect of, ego is the anesthetic that numbs our stupidity. Think of that, man. That's really true, because what happens is it gets in our way. So if you're here and you want to be prayed with for, just come on down. We just want to pray with you. Just believe. Jesus, I just believe now that you are the healer, that everything was accomplished that needs to be accomplished concerning people who need to be healed, Lord. I pray a level of faith, and when I say faith, I mean belief system. Jesus, I pray that you will cause us to be able to spend maybe 15 minutes in total silence to just hear your heart and hear your voice, where we don't even have to have worship music on, or we don't have to be pressing in to try to get you to answer our shopping list, that it'll just be a time of sitting back and letting you hug on our hearts a little bit. God, that's what we need. Lord, shut down those computers and cell phones and stuff for just 15 minutes. And Lord, again, we're not going to say nothing. We're not going to go into our prayer mode where we talk to you in King James Version. We're going to just sit back and say, okay, I think I talk enough. I want to let you talk to my heart, and I just pray in those times, God, that you'll show up, and just like Elijah, where he was looking for you and all the bigness, and you can't blame him. You did a lot of big stuff with him, man, calling down fire from heaven and all that. And yet you said in the word that he looked for you in the big thunder and the storm, and there you were in the little small voice in his heart. I just pray for those times, God, because it's in those times where that peace is. It's in those times where we rest in you without having to try to figure out life. God, we don't want to figure out life. We don't want to try to have to figure out life. We just want to do life with you and let those things fall into place. God, I pray the peace that we're all sense and feel and know today, that we're sensing right here and knowing, I pray that that carries with us, not just as a good time as we gather together as a corporate body of believers, but as we go out into that harvest field, that we might touch the lives of people who are absolutely hurting, and all they need is maybe just a smile and a thank you very much. So Lord, I release that over this church congregation, and I pray this same peace and love will rest and reign on them for this whole week. We thank you for that. Amen. A what meeting? A missions meeting is located where? Is it back here? This way? A missions meeting, is this that for the youth missions meeting? For the missions trip in July of next year. I didn't know none of this. 2018, she yelled at me. Did you see that? Mark it down. The missions, we're going to Oaxaca, Mexico to eat tacos.